measure effectiveness or my manager score. So there are various ways that every business currently measures their own performance. We're trying to help people be better and eventually function as organizations to be better. I think you see a trend in every function in the organization, including sales, marketing, including talent acquisition, customer success, and including also learning development, which is the measurement is a key piece in the development.
Today's episode of the HR L&D podcast is sponsored by Deel. Now take a moment, if you would, to consider the following pre-show scenario. Imagine you had to visit 16 houses just to cook your dinner. One place has the pots, another has the pans, another has the stove, and another has the food. You get the idea. Sounds ridiculous, right? Well, the reality is most global businesses operate exactly the same way, using 16 different tools and platforms to hire, manage, and pay their workforce. But now there's one platform that does it all, and that's today's sponsor. That's Deel. That's D-E-E-L. And Deel is the all-in-one platform built for global work. So whether you're an enterprise business, a small company, or something in between, from automated onboarding to performance assessments and beyond, you can manage the entire worker lifecycle all under one roof. Hire and onboard talent in over 150 countries, or run payroll in over 100 countries. Even offer competitive benefits, equity, and equipment. With Deel's industry-leading suite of HR tools, payroll solutions, and compliance services, you can scale globally with unmatched speed and expertise. So are you ready to transform your global HR system? If you are, click in the link in the show notes to book a demo with Deel today. That's D-E-E-L. Welcome to the HR L&D podcast, where we explore cutting-edge HR trends and best practices with top leaders who are shaping the future of work. Hello and welcome back to the HR L&D podcast. My name is Nick Day, CEO at JGA Recruitment Group, and we are global HR recruiters. Now, if you are regular to this show, please do remember to subscribe to it. Please do share it with all of your HR colleagues and friends, and together we can really raise the profile of the HR industry for everyone globally. And in fact, we've got someone on the today's show who's going to really help us do that as well, because he's already been doing it. He's actually working at the heart of AI and at the forefront of L&D. And we're going to be exploring today the future of the L&D profession with our guest, Omer Glass. Now, Omer is the dynamic co-founder and CEO of Growth Space. We are going to be finding out more about that business during the course of today's show. But let's just say it's an outcome-driven talent development platform that's really revolutionizing the human-to-human domain. However, not only is Omer recognized as a distinguished Forbes contributor, he's also a keynote speaker at leading L&D conferences worldwide. So you may have come across him before. And if you haven't, well, you may have come across him previously when he co-founded another business called Careerology, which was an online institution dedicated to comprehensive career development. So he's right in fully immersed in the world of L&D. And at Growth Space, he's now harnessing cutting-edge AI, something that many of you are keen to find out more about, to help L&D to become an absolute powerhouse for numerous Fortune 500 corporations. And with a rich tapestry of experience spanning over a decade in L&D, Omer is joining me today to talk about some of the innovative strategies and the insights that have really helped him to consistently elevate businesses. So as we deep dive into his mindset and his experience, I want to welcome Omer to the show. Welcome, Omer, to the HR L&D podcast. How are you feeling today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me, Nick, and for the enthusiastic introduction. I like it.
No, you're very welcome. Listen, you've achieved a lot. You're right at the forefront of L&D, right at the forefront of AI. These are hot topics. So before we dive into those, let me ask you this question. Something I ask all of my guests: what do the words human resources mean to you?
I think it's basically everything. So when you think about it, with all technology and AI, what drives business and what drives countries and what drives everything, it's humans. So that's my domain and it's our domain. So we're maybe a little bit biased, but I think for every CEO or for every business leader, eventually the success of the business will be reliant on the people they're having. With bad people, you will fail. With good people, you will succeed. And with good people, if you even get to hire people who are even better than yourself, your business will just thrive and flourish, and you will like track the go-to-market, the go-to-market motion if you're a startup, or you will able you'll be able to scale it if you're a later stage business. But I think HR or people or whatever we call this function, it's basically everything, because it's like the fundamentals of every business. So bringing in the right people, like, you know, your domain, or elevating or making the people who work here better, I think those are basically the best things a customer and the best investment of a business. So
yeah, that's nice.
My two cents about HR.
I'm going to pick out a couple of words you mentioned there. You mentioned good employees, bad employees, and elevating employees. Now, arguably, a good employee is often an engaged employee, and elevating employees often involves investment in training, development, and the things that I know you're fully immersed in. What are the things that perhaps L&D professionals or HR professionals, what are the KPIs that they could be measuring that could really support where L&D initiatives can really have an impact on a business?
So L&D initiatives vary from, but it's usually around development. It's usually around helping people to be better at what they do, right? That's what you have learning development around. So you have the, like, from sales training to management training to, like, very specific training, like communication training or anything you can think about. Everything is focused on making someone better at something, right? So the metric that you should measure yourself on is eventually business metric. So you're trying to make managers be better managers. Most businesses, even small businesses, measure managerial effectiveness. For example, it can be measured with your performance evaluation or a performance management system, or it could be even measured in, like, HR analytics, like a Kaltron Glean, right? Like a manager effectiveness or my manager score. So there are various ways that every business currently measures their own performance, whether it's like managers, as the example I just mentioned, or it can be in sales, like you do sales training. So you measure, you know, pipeline generation, conversion metrics, the close rates, the sales cycle, ACV, et cetera. So various words that the sales organization measures. So I think what I'm trying to say here, L&D needs to measure performance increase according to how the business measures performance. That's like the bottom line, because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help people be better and eventually functions or organizations to be better.
So how's that shifted, and how has L&D practices moved from traditional? You know, we've been the plethora of AI solutions that are out there now has seen the industry shift. Obviously, it's something that you fully immersed in the solution that you offer that maybe wouldn't have existed in L&D solutions maybe 5 years ago. So how has the future of L&D changed, and how is it continuing to evolve?
I think you see a trend in every function in the organization, including sales, marketing, including talent acquisition, customer success, and including also learning and development, which is the measurement is a key piece in the development. I think if you think of marketing 20 or 30 years ago, you think about, you know, billboards, Super Bowl ad, stuff like that, that, you know, you do it, you spend a lot of money on it, and you hope that it works, but you don't really know that it works, right? And I think what we saw with marketing today, with all the tools and technology that we have, we can actually attribute every action to a dollar's worth of activity, right? So marketing became much more measurable. So now you do A/B testing, you try things, you fail, you change something, you repeat, right? You change the color of the button in the website in order to see the conversion rates, right? The click-through rate. And we saw it with the talent acquisition that today we, like, you can actually analyze your funnel, how many people you're getting in a campaign, and eventually how much you're paying for talent acquisition. So it's the same for HR, for learning and development, sorry. So I think learning and development, if I'm connecting to my previous point, the ability to do things and see their impact on the business and then do it again and again and again, it's basically the transformation that we're seeing with technology. So basically shift from doing a management training that after the management training, you ask people, hey, how was your management training? Usually people say it was great because, you know, they know your rating, some silly data was nice eventually, but you don't really know if something changed. Or, you know, giving people like e-learning content and measuring how many people logged in. You don't really care about how many people logged in. You care about the difference that it made in their life, right? If it made them better professionals or not. So I think the shift in general in learning development is following other MA functions, which is basically being more measurable, less guessing, less like either fluffy metrics, like, you know, self-reporting, or less non-really significant metrics like participation, completion rates, stuff like that, and more actual business metrics. So I think that's the key thing. And also a much broader use of technology. So moving from more traditional services that probably our parents had the privilege of participating in more technology, AI-driven tools. So I think those two trends really show the progress we're making as an industry.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I mean, something we hear a lot, not just in relation to L&D, but in relation to HR, you know, implementing new DEI practices or inclusive practices. It's very easy to create new strategies and to get people to participate, but it's where do they actually embed and result in consistent change? So it sounds like that's why, you know, companies and people like yourself have been able to utilize technology and HR analytics to actually measure the power of the embedding part of that process. So if we think of that's where analytics has been really helpful and HR tech, where does AI sit in all this? How are you leveraging AI to support L&D strategies?
So in order to understand how we use AI, you need to understand what we do specifically.
Sure.
So GrowthSpace helps a company to manage and execute their what we call human-to-human development programs, right? So it's a platform that helps you to run and also manage like the programs you're running. And so you can think of like management programs we talked about as an example, right? So because up until COVID, most of the human to human development interactions were predominantly face to face. And when I'm saying human to human development, I mean every development activity you're doing where a human helps other human grow, right? So it can be an internal training, like a workshop that like someone from the company is giving other people from the company. It can be mentoring, where you one of your employees mentor other people. Or it can be external, when you bring an external facilitator to run your management training, to run your coaching programs. You can think of like specific training, like a sales training or negotiation training. Agile training, so you get the point. It can be one-on-one, it can be a cohort-based, it can be internal and external. So just to define the state. Now, what GrowthSpace does is help companies manage and execute all of that. And since up until COVID, most of the space was mainly face-to-face, and now a lot of it basically moved online, you don't have any platform that manages all of that, right? So if now you need to run your management program, you probably do it manually. Without a platform. And there are aspects like understanding the need, like right, doing the assessment or connecting to your assessment, and booking, and managing, following up, etc. So that's one piece of basically what we do. And the second is actually the execution of all your external programs. So we have over 2,500 experts on our platform who are predominantly trainers, mentors, and coaches. Each one specializes on something very specific. And then you can execute a one-on-one or cohort-based training that are focused on a specific skill where, for example, let's say you want to work, you talked about, let's say you work in R&D and you need to work to implement Agile to your team. And so you will have a specialist matched to you who all they do is Agile training. And they will work with you on making you better in this specific thing in a one-on-one sprint, usually of 5 sessions, or as part of a cohort. Like it can be a workshop, or it can be like a kind of like a team coaching when they will work with your team. Or management, you will work with a management trainer on a very specific thing in management. So that's basically what the GrowthSpace does. So management and execution. Now you asked me about AI and how we evolve. So a big piece of the execution phase is the matching, because you want to be better at something. And again, coming back to my last point, and your company just invested like a decent amount of money in making you better. So now the question is, if our platform matches you with the perfect person for you in terms of what you need to work on, like the specific skill, and in terms of your background, like your industry, right? So AI has a lot to do in the matching, in A, understanding what do you need. A lot of times in HR, we know that our assessments, it's very hard for managers or individuals to define exactly what they need, like what skill do they need to work on, right? So that's number one. Number two is matching. So it's a big data play. So we have a lot of data and a very vast taxonomy of skills that basically helps us to match the right person to, like, the right expert to the right participant. Then it helps with the actual program. So kind of like following up, summarizing, like now I believe we have AI assistant summarizing our episode. So it really helps like with the process. So basically AI is kind of like all through like the chain, basically from the beginning to the end, and helps us just do what we do better. I will say with human to human, it cannot really replace the human until we get to a level maybe of AI like Hair, the movie Hair, when you know you can fall in love with AI. But currently, most of the learning that people learn in organizations are from other people. Like if now I will tell you, hey, take an AI, the AI will help you to become a CEO, a better CEO, we will say, I'm not sure about that. But if now I will match you with, like, you know, Elon Musk, so then you say, hey, I have something to learn from you.
Hello, HR and people leaders. Are you exhausted of the war for talent cliche? The problem is, when we hear a cliche, it usually exists for a reason. However, we think it's time for a fresh approach to the talent crisis. That's because at JGA Recruitment, we understand the real challenges you face in sourcing phenomenal HR and people candidates. And guess what? We think we have the solution. Our team is on a mission to revolutionize your hiring process. That's because we're not just recruiters, we're strategic partners dedicated to finding HR and people professionals who align perfectly with your company's vision and goals. So let's break the cycle of frustration together. Partner your talent acquisition strategies with JGA Recruitment and experience the difference in service, excellence, and results. No longer do you need to suffer the costs associated with a poor hire, because with over 100 five-star Google reviews and already trusted by many of the world's leading brands, why don't you take action today? Contact us at jgarecruitment.com to discover how we can help transform your HR and people teams. And here's a bonus. When you visit us, you can sign up for our weekly HR newsletter that's packed with invaluable industry insights and more. Let's revolutionize your HR talent acquisition strategies together and make the war for talent a cry from the past. Visit jjrecruitment.com to find out more.
It's a bit like, it sounds a bit like, you know, the algorithms that you'd use in a dating website, but we're putting it in a professional context, right? We're putting the needs and the wants together to create a solution, and we're using AI intelligently to have that. And you know, if you are engaging with a platform like GrowthSpace, you want to make sure that you are matched with someone that you feel like you can learn from, that is a mentor or someone that we look up to learn from. And I think sometimes that's where the learning process can fall down. If we don't buy into the person that's teaching us, then we kind of close ourselves off to the learning. So with that in mind, what are some of the innovative approaches then that our HR listeners that are listening to this right now can perhaps utilize to help them to create scalable L&D programs that do deliver long-term results?
I will share some best practices from what I see from my customers and some best practices that we use at GrowthSpace. Usually, learning and development leaders who I really appreciate and I believe they're successful, they're very focused on what they're trying to achieve. A lot of times you have a risk of doing a lot of things that do not really create a critical mass of impact. And actually, I have a soon, by the way, I think in April, a Brandon Hall webinar with our customer, PayPal. And I approached her and asked her to talk about her strategy, because what she does, she selects the right population that you want to focus on. And so if it, for example, you say managers in transition, people just becoming managers for the first time, to build a very, very robust program in order to serve this specific population and not do everything. Just focus on the population that will move the needle. So I think the first element in learning development will be basically focus. Don't do everything. Do few things that create a lot of impact and then invest in them. And so I think that's number one. Number two okay, so we selected the population. Now, again, coming back to how will we know if we're good, if we succeeded? Usually, a lot of learning development programs, you will find people build programs who cannot really fail, right? So yeah, I gave everyone like, okay, we did a management workshop and we asked them, we surveyed them. And everyone said that it was good. Did it create an impact or not? And how do you know, right? And if basically you create a program that cannot really fail, you didn't build the right program, because good programs can fail. Because like for everything, right? If you want to build something successful, like a business can fail and can succeed. That's the essence of building programs that can fail. So if you measure the programs on easy things, like how many participated, how many completed, or even self-reporting of the participants, it's biased, right? But if you're going to the business metrics, if you're saying, okay, I'm now building, let's say, a managers in transition program, like people becoming the managers for the first time. So what would be the business metric I will measure? And how will I measure it? And then I will, again, suggest that you will just use whatever metric you're measuring your manager's effectiveness at the moment. And then you can do one of like two things. You can do before and after. So let's see what happens between two cycles of like performance evaluation, which is better. It's not perfect because you can have confounding variables. The better way would be to A/B test, right? So just split the new managers into two cohorts. One will get the program, one will not get the program, and then see what's the difference in performance between the two groups. That's where basically it becomes scientific. So again, we talked about focus, we talked about AMA measurement, and then I think the third piece is how accurate you are with your program. So you're trying to deliver something to a very specific population with very specific skills, with very specific intent. And then, you know, for example, sometimes companies give a population coaching, for example. Now, coaching is great. It's a great thing, but it's very broad. So you're working with a coach, which is a professional who went through the ICF certification, but no one is good with everything. So you want, that's what I'm saying. Basically, you need to move from the generalist approach to the specialist approach. So you have a manager who needs to work on dealing with difficult employees and having difficult conversations. It will not necessarily be the same expert you will work with. Like if you're trying to manage your calendar, your time better, time management, or implementing agile or leadership, right? Different professionals, because those are different skills. So I think the more focused you are with and more personalized with your offering, and eventually matching the right expert to the right individual, the more successful you will become. And so I think those would be like the three key elements. And whatever you do, if I can add a fourth, it will be focused time-wise. A lot of times we do very long programs, right? Like a year-long engagement, for example, with a coach, and it's very hard to measure and even know. And like, actually, it's very hard. It's kind of like becoming a therapist. If you want to do something, do it in sprint, like in R&D. Like you're developing a product, you're doing design sprints, you're doing a R&D sprints. Why? Because it's more efficient. So I think those are basically the key pillars.
I like the response. I'll tell you why. Because you kind of pulled upon some really successful elements of different industries into L&D to make it work. So you talked then about, you know, the ability to have something that fails. And I love the acronym FAIL as first attempt in learning, right? From your failures, you understand how to get better. You talked about A and B testing. Well, A and B testing is something that often we attribute to other industries and email marketing and things, but knowing what works and what doesn't and testing those two things to get a better result, I think is really intuitive, particularly in the world of L&D, embedding it, looking at the right statistics, the right metrics. As you say, it's not about those that participate. It's about whether those that did participate actually, you know, move the needle. And anyone can turn up at a training session, but if they all walk away with no additional knowledge, it doesn't really matter. So I think there's a lot to take away in that response. I really liked it. And I think for those that are interested in improving their HR analytics that is everyone seems to be analyzing now. It's a real buzzword. Everyone's trying to get to grips with it. I think you've given us some good examples there of how people can improve their HR analytical scores, the scores they're looking at, because it starts with measuring the right analytics in the first place. So with that in mind, what are the metrics that you would suggest an HR professional did start to look at? If we're eliminating, for example, how many people participated as a metric, what would you replace it with? What are the metrics we should be thinking about?
So it depends what you're trying to achieve. Usually I can split metrics into two groups, maybe three groups. One group would be business metrics. Business metrics are the best to measure because every business measures their own metric, right? Every business knows sales, conversions, ARR, customer churn, et cetera, depending on your business, operational metrics, whatever. So you have business metrics in place. I think the first rule, no matter what metric it is, it's the metric that you're measuring now, not a new metric. You don't need another tool, another measurement tool. Use what you have. So the first ones are business metrics. The way you measure, if you're working with people in operations, measure the impact of the program based on like your actual metrics in operations. Again, if you can use A/B testing, it's great. If not, use before and after. So you usually that's the first group, business metrics. And then it's basically every metric that business measures, from sales to engineering. And the second group are organizational metrics. So these metrics will talk about, for example, manager's effectiveness. Can talk about voluntary attrition, for example. Now, I would say attrition is kind of like a byproduct of development because, for example, if you're making your managers better, then their subordinates will stay, right, and not leave. Because like a bad manager probably is the first reason why people leave companies. So whatever. And maybe it can be engagement, right? And it can be my manager score, like people ranking their manager. So whatever organizational metrics you measure already, like you can use that. That's the second group. The third, I would call it behavioral metrics, which is like the least, I'm going from like the most accurate to the least accurate, and because it is less objective and less like a quantifiable, but usually direct managers can testify whether their employee is better at a specific thing. So for example, we're talking about the new managers, right? So the manager of the manager after a program can say, okay, this individual couldn't do hard conversations with their employee. And now after a 5-second sprint with an expert, again, taking my example, I really see a difference in that. And for example, you know, I saw them doing 3 hard conversations with their employees, right? So it's basically the more objective report of the direct manager. So that's basically the best way. And again, you can go the fourth one, if I'll add a fourth, would be the self-reporting of the individual. So we set a KPI for a program. Did I meet it or not? But again, I will say that this is extremely biased because usually, again, like I just met someone, you know, my mother is a librarian and she did an IT training in the library. And she told me, Omer, it was the worst training ever I did. And then I said, okay, did they ask you for feedback in the end of the training? But of course, what did you give them? 10 out of 10. Why? Yeah. Poor old guy, will I hurt his livelihood, right? So self-reporting is biased. So again, business metrics, sure. Organizational metrics, behavioral metrics reported by the manager, and then self-reporting, worst come to worst.
It's a good example. So we're going to open the vault in just a moment. I just wonder if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about what led you to the inspiration really behind Growth Space. Because I know that you believe L&D should be right at the heart of company culture. And it'd be great to learn a little bit more about what led you along that journey, what Growth Space is all about. I know you've given us a bit of an insight as well about how the platform works and about the AI side. But what was the inspiration behind the launch?
So first of all, throughout my career, I was very, very enthusiastic about learning and development because I think that's the best thing you do in the organization, helping people grow. I think as humans, this is what we do, right? Like we're trying to grow, we're trying to be better businesses, we're trying to be better. And again, connecting to my first point, businesses are their people. So I think that's basically the best work you can do. So kudos for all of you listening to the podcast for really contributing to this space, because I think that's the most important work we do in organizations. Now, the idea, I can attribute it to my partner, Dan, who is the group, my co-founder and GrowthSpace's COO. And Dan, before joining me and before we started GrowthSpace, he was a COO in like a fast growing tech company, a data company. And they had a really high volunteer attrition. A lot of people left the company. So we tried to understand why people are leaving. And so we did some exit interviews, some pulse surveys, and it appeared that people were leaving because they didn't feel that the company invests enough in their development, in their professional development. That's good. Every problem, let's invest in solving the problem. So he brought in a lot of different things you could find in the market, like e-learning tools, they implemented like a new learning management system, some workshop, keynote lectures, they even did some coaching. They did a lot of things. And he tried to measure, he's an ex-consultant, ex-Bain consultant, he's very analytical. He tried to measure whether impact has been achieved. So he saw that after 6 months, in various metrics that he tried to measure, including voluntary attrition, including number of escalations that people are doing, various metrics, no impact has been achieved. So we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, no impact. And then he gave me a call, and he knew I had some experience in this space, and he asked me, Omar, how do you create effective employee development? And then my intuitive response was, nobody really knows. Now, why nobody really knows? Again, coming back to the data, because you need the data and you need to make sure you're making progress in order to do something good. So it's not okay. It's an interesting mountain to climb. Let's start and create a solution that will really help companies to create effective employee development. So that's how we started.
Amazing. And it's been very successful. I mean, you've got some major FTSE 500 companies Fortune 500 companies, which have been using the platform. You mentioned PayPal earlier today, and there's obviously more that people can find on your website as well, which we'll direct people to in just a moment. So we're going to open the HR L&D vault.
Opening the L&D vault.
Three short, sharp questions for you. First one, it's quite a big one. If you could give one piece of advice to the world, what would it be?
I think I just led an onboarding session for new employees who joined us this month. I'm doing it monthly. I think the best advice for the world, for people, is one of our values, and actually you can see it there behind me in one of these tiles, is growth. So I think maybe the best advice I can give to people, because again, people are organizations, is focus on your growth. And the best tool to focus on your growth would be to be receptive to feedback. Now, our culture, you know, since we're young, we're being rated since the first grade. You're an A, you're a B, you're a C minus, right? So we don't really like feedback. We only like the good feedback, but the good feedback will not help us grow. We hate the bad feedback, but the bad feedback is very, very important for our growth. And since all of us need to grow, because the world is growing, the economy is growing, companies grow, and you personally grow to your next role, or even being the better version of this role, the best thing you can do is continue to ask people, hey, can you give me feedback? How can I be better? And if you do it daily, you will get so many insights about things you can really be better at. So I think that's the best tip I can give.
That's great advice. And it links quite closely to the idea of marginal gains as well, right? When we know where we can improve little things, they soon add up. If you had the opportunity, what advice would you give to a younger you just starting out in this new world of work?
HR, you asked me what is HR. So I said, HR is the most important thing because businesses are people. If you hire good people, and again, my job was to start a company, right? But it doesn't matter. If even building a learning and development function, for example, or HR function, the people you will hire will determine your success. So be very, very, very focused on who do you need to hire. And do whatever it takes in order to really do a good assessment of like their performance in previous roles. Because like sometimes you interview people, but the interview processes, again, you know this better than me, are not so reliable. A lot of times you interview people, you're very excited, they're onboarded, and then it fails, right? And a good tool that can help you is kind of like doing talking to their previous managers, not as references, but as kind of in order to really understand how did they do in the previous company, what are the good things, what are the bad things, and then it will basically shed a light on that. So I think that basically
Yeah, I mean, it's like hard to disagree.
One advice, yeah.
It's the people that shape the culture, the vision, the delivery. So if you get that bit wrong, I mean, obviously I'm biased. I'm a recruiter, and I'm in a very niche recruiter. You talked earlier about niching down, and I couldn't agree more on the importance of that. But getting the hiring bit right has a huge impact on the positive or the not so positive results your business might end up enduring. So last question, what is the guiding principle or behavior that you've seen in every great leader that you've worked with?
I worked in management consulting, and we had a phrase called the strong opinions loosely held. Strong opinions loosely held means I have strong opinions about everything, basically everything. You ask me something, I have an opinion. But I'm also, it's loosely held. So I'm very attentive and receptive for other ideas. And then my goal is to get to the best idea, not to my idea. So I think a lot of leaders, all the leaders have strong opinions. The question is if they're loosely held or not loosely held. And I think a good leader should be, because sometimes this is a fact, other people will get better ideas than yours. It needs to be based on logic, based on analytics, based on data, but you need to be attentive and always try to find the right idea and not necessarily your idea. And if you're agile enough to say, yeah, to come to a discussion, this is my suggestion, and then someone comes with a better logic for another idea, drop your idea, forget about it, and get to the other idea. So I think that's like a very important piece.
Not an answer I've had before. So I get it. I like it. Well, listen, Omega Glass, very, very great to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for sharing your insights, your knowledge, your expertise. For those, of course, that want to find out more about Growth Space, you can go to growthspace.com. There will be a link directly in the show notes of this episode, so please do click through on that. If there's any other links you would like to direct our audience to, Omer, while I have you on the show?
No, but I will invite you to connect with me.
Fantastic. Well, I'll put your LinkedIn profile on there as well. And for those, of course, that do want to find out more about Growth Space and how they're really developing the future of human-to-human development, do take a look at the platform. You'll see some of the fantastic brands they've worked with. They range from Microsoft to Taboola to EY and PayPal, I think you mentioned on the show. So really, really good opportunity for people to learn about how you can really make your L&D function and insights and strategies work, make them effective, make them add value, and really help you embed them as well. So do take a look at that platform if you get a moment, and it can really help drive your business outcomes. And of course, if you are an HR L&D professional listening to this show and you want support with a HR or L&D related vacancy, well, that's where we can come in. We are a niche recruiter. We do operate globally, and I'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at jgarecruitment.com. And of course, that link will also be in the show notes. So just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Omer Glass for joining me today on the HR L&D podcast. I look forward to being the next episode real soon. And thank you once again. Thanks, Omer.
Thanks so much.
Today's episode of the HR L&D podcast is sponsored by Deel, the all-in-one global people platform that simplifies how you manage the entire global team lifecycle. From contractors, direct employees, EOR, and more, you can manage them all in one place with Deel. Hire and onboard talent in over 150 countries in minutes, or run payroll in over 100 countries with just one click. Offer competitive benefits, equipment, and equity from a single dashboard. Even customize career roadmaps, performance assessments, and more for your team through Deel's suite of AI-powered learning and development tools. So no matter your global business goals, Deel's team of over 200 legal experts keeps you compliant with local laws every step of the way. So whether you're an enterprise business, a small company, or something in between, Deel is built to meet your unique global HR needs. Ready to transform your global HR? Click the link in the show notes to book a demo with Deel today. That's DEEL.